diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of prime. Welcome to episode 218 of 4th and John. This is the Welcome to Training Camp episode. We're doing a breakdown of Training Camp Day 3. You like this guy in the image, man. He's a one bright light for me. But anyways, I mean, this training camp, there's a lot of news, man. A lot of news has been flying out there. It's been hard to keep up with the timeline. If you look this way, you look that way. You never know what's going to hit you in the face. But it's all about details. Details. If you ask Coach Sirianni, he wants details. He's holding people accountable. That means he's stopping practice to get his point across. I know some people were respect what he's doing. I saw people were posting out. That's real later. I mean that's what a coach does. You're supposed to do that. But you could either go one way or this way. And a guy like Derek Gunn, he's kind of like the voice of reason to me. He's kind of like the Yoda, Lando Calrissian for me. Like when he I have to listen. He says, I know it's still early in training camp with a new coaching staff, but after watching practice today, this team has a long ways to go to get ready. And he ended with a wow. Not just a period, a wow. But depending on who you talk to in the media right now, it's up, down, here, and there. But overall, I mean, I'm just excited to get practice started. This is the third day of training camp. We know the new squad here, so it's going to take time to get these guys on the right page offensively. Defensively, it seems like they've been all the rage these days. But what are you guys feeling like right now?
I mean, I'm still in the honeymoon phase right now, where this entire week, these past 3 days, you know, football is finally back. I'm still sitting here basking in the glory of the fact that we're in this time of year again. And I mean, honestly, I'm looking at it like it's one of those things like syllabus week when you were in college, right? So like everybody is kind of shaking the rust off this early in the season, early in training camp, I should say. They're getting their legs underneath of them. I understand that there's going to be some mistakes that are made, but I'm glad that Nick Sirianni, it seems, is trying to, you know, grab the reins and take control of what's going on during these practices. He seems to have the energy, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, but I don't know how this is going to translate. Like I said, we're still very early in training camp, but he's doing what he's got to do, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been a busy day. Trying to catch up with all the stuff that's been going on in Twitter, trying to see all the headlines and getting mixed emotions. That's what today's pretty much been all about. I mean, one minute you're seeing all good things that are happening within the training camp, and then somebody even pointed out like, oh, wait a minute, Nick just stopped camp to go ahead and chew somebody's ass out. I'm like, oh, shit, what the hell happened now? I'm trying to look into it. And, you know, again, it goes back to, oh, things are working out. Things are looking real good. These guys are making some tight catches with some of these tight passes that Jalen Hurts is throwing. I'm like, all right, okay. Then Derek just killed the mood with that tweet. I'm like, holy shit. As soon as I saw that, I shared it with you guys. I mean, I wasn't even sure if you guys saw it yet. I'm like, what the hell? Like, which is it? Like, I'm all over the place today. So, you know what I mean? There's no doubt about that. We had to get together and go ahead and talk about day 3 today. So it's crazy. It's been a crazy day.
Crazy day indeed. I'm still pumped up. I'm with Evan on the whole the Hollywood honeymoon phase, we'll call it.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm right out there. I'm feeling it. And D Gunn tried to kill my vibes too. But you know, he said it himself in that first part of his statement there. It's the beginning. It's early. It's training camp. We talked about this before training camp started. Do not read too much into anything. Expect a lot of growing pains. These are things that happen with a new team, with a lot of young players and a lot of good veterans still here to help these young guys. But growing pains, something that, you know, implementing new systems, all this new, I'm perfectly fine with it. I mean, just if you know what you're going into training camp looking for, I think you can come in and just let that stuff bounce off you. And D Gunn, man, what the hell? Like, I get it, man. But why you got to do that to us? Because when he says it, that's concerning, you know.
And
but
he's not even adding a little asterisk in there that there was a lot of veterans that were sitting out today as well.
Yes.
I mean, this was a lot of it was compared to as kind of like an expansion team almost that it was out there today. So
which I liked, right? Yeah. I thought that was cool today. You know, people were pissed. All the vets were out. Oh, it's like it's first off, it's a maintenance day, but some younger guys getting to step in and start. So I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, going off some of the notes here, you know, you're talking about those veterans that got, you know, the opportunity just to watch Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey, Brandon Graham, Ryan Kerrigan, Darius Slay, and Zach Ertz. Brandon Brooks was held out of practice and is listed as day-to-day with hamstring injury that he had on Thursday. Shakai Taylor and Quez Watkins. Shakai has the lower body. Quez Watkins, it's a non-COVID illness, but they're also day-to-day and missed practice. Left guard Isaac Suamalu and quarterback Nate Meters, both hamstring injuries week to week. They have not practiced in training camp. And then, you know, just overall, I mean, wide receivers, Travis Fulgham, lower body, and Greg Ward, non-COVID illness. They both returned to team drills today. Fulgham was held out of practice yesterday, but Ward only worked with individual drills. And Jalen Reagor also worked in individual drills. But just want to give a shout out to, you know, Jalen Reagor. I know he is going through some things, you know, that there's a report of him not passing his conditioning test, him and Dallas Goedert. But it was news that was put out also that he had lost a friend during this time. I know fans out there can be crazy, man. I mean, he did deactivate his social medias and he's trying to, like, I guess, get his mind right. So I feel like that needs to be mentioned.
For sure. For sure. It's definitely one of those things worth considering, you know, when someone and not every problem that you go through in life is going to be physical. You know, these guys are athletes, but they're also people. So you have to consider everything that can go on inside their body, just like can go on in ours. But those weren't the only injuries to talk about today, guys. there was some big news that popped out of not Philadelphia, but one guy that we just can't get out of our minds.
Evan, are you throwing the flag?
Huh? He's throwing it in already.
Oh, well, you let him throw it in for you. You let him throw it in for you.
And you know what? The white flag is quite that's interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting.
That is a thing.
The picture says it all, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. With the fat head behind me, you know what I mean? I still decided to go ahead and keep it. Should I just start, like, maybe cutting off each part that has been bothering him, like, you know, after all these years?
I think you got to treat it like a voodoo doll.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think it'll end up coming down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we had the legs. We had the Achilles. We had the head injury. I think he had a situation with his arm in one of those years.
He's like a real life game of Hangman.
Yeah, man. Like, it's bad, man. This is bad.
Well, dude, it's bad, but we're not sitting here wishing any kind of injury for anyone goes that we're not joshing about that. The thing is, though, this is why we traded him, right? I mean, that's, and it's news. People, why are you talking about this? Well, because it depends on if that second round pick becomes the first round pick. So we kind of have to keep talking about him as much as we don't want to. So, best of luck to him in his career as a human being. And the same with Jalen Reagor. Definitely know what it's like to lose people. So I hope he gets his mind right. I wish the fans would see that and be a little more caring. Let's see, this kid could use, you know, our support, and let's see him grow into the potential he has. So best of luck to him. Best of luck to Carson. And man, Carson, this is why we traded him. Let's just look at it as a second round pick for a guy that isn't going to play. That makes me pretty happy inside, and we'll have a lot of money next year.
They said Wentz heard a pop. And then they're saying it was I think Michael Silver was saying that he believes it's definitely a bone and a ligament, but they're not sure if they're gonna if it's surgery yet. I think they did rule out that it is a Lisfranc, but if they
ruled that out,
I believe they might have ruled that
they did.
But it could lead to surgery, and that could threaten not the season but the start of the season. With Wentz. So that's where we are with that. I mean, it's definitely, we're all trying to move on from Wentz, but we're you know, first we looked at the he's not vaccinated, he's got to protect the, you know, got to protect the pick, and then here we go, he hurts his foot, and we're just like, I guess this is where we're at right now.
That's two shows in a row now. Wentz has still been the topic.
Well, should we do a third show?
No, we said it on that show. Why not expect a second rounder?
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if we're going to go, you know, to some of the pressers, I know Darius Slay had a presser today. Mm-hmm. Talked about Devontae Smith, man. I thought his presser was pretty, because I'm always looking for like these nuggets. And he basically was, they asked him what was unique about Devontae Smith going up against him. They said his ability to have a plan. And then he has a plan in place. He's not reacting to me. And he's, you know, he's running his route. He knows he has to get to his spot and he's doing it the best way he can. And the fact that he's not reacting to me, he's like, that's a positive. He's like, yeah. You know, that's a dog who knows where he needs to get at in the route and be a quarterback's best friend. So you like to see that. And he said he's helping out Devontae with any notes. Like, he's asking him for everything. So that's what you like to see. I thought that was pretty nice.
And that's exactly what you'd like to see, man. I mean, Devontae Smith coming in here, going up against an elite level cornerback like Darius Slay. You can't expect him to just come in here, regardless of, you know, the entire catalog of awards and everything accomplished in college. You can't just expect him to come in here and just be an absolute baller day three of training camp versus one of the best in the game. So I'm glad, A, to be seeing that Darius Slay is keeping him in check, but I'm also loving this chemistry and just relationship that is forming between hopefully two future Eagle elites for a long time to come, because those two being competitive against each other every day in practice is only going to make each other better, man.
Yeah, and that's just the thing going forward. I mean, you definitely love to hear these guys talk highly about each other. Again, it's all about bringing the competition out of one another. You know, but like, come on. I mean, like, damn, again, another high note for this kid. Like, you got one of the best in the game that plays the position so well, and he's giving props to, you know, this rookie coming in, doing what he's supposed to do. The attitude that he has when he's on the field, he's all about making plays, and like, it's just great to hear, man. And it definitely gets you even more hyped up to see what this kid is going to go ahead and bring this season.
And even while it seems, or while I've heard that it seems that Darius Slay has been getting somewhat the better of Devontae Smith, it seems like Devontae Smith has been really showing out among all the other wide receivers in the group. He seems like he is the clear leader, which we expected him to be. But it's clear that he's really making his presence known.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I thought it was pretty awesome to hear, obviously, some high praise from Darius Slay. One of the things, you know, last year, obviously, he went against some of the top dogs. And, you know, he had some struggles, but I still think he's one of the better corners in the game. To hear that, you know, he's impressed by Devontae Smith, like Gale said, coming in with a game plan. One of the things I love that Slay said during that presser was that he always comes in with a game plan. And right when the schedule came out, instantly, he started doing some, you know, watching tape, doing his studies on all the receivers he's going to be going against this year. He's still trying to improve himself. He had a lot of good things to say, you know, about Gannon, talking about, you know, creating turnovers. That's something we have stressed so much. So I was really excited to see Darius Slay excited about the receivers, excited about the defensive coordinator who used to be a DB's coach. So all these things seem to be trending in the right direction for the future of this team.
Absolutely. When you talk about trending in the right direction, you know, there's also news out there of, you know, one of Prime's favorite dudes. I mean, Andre Dillard. I believe Andre Dillard. I'm going to say he's having a rocky go of it. I think the guys are having their way with him a little bit. I know Barnett. I think it was Kempski had noted that he put his hands up in his neck and like kind of just bull rushed him out of the way, and then he went to the sidelines and just took another break. He was like expecting him to go back out there and like fight the fight. But you know, overall, I feel like the vibe right now is everybody's feeling a little bit more comfortable with Melata at this moment. I think I know Andre Dillard did take off his brace that he was protecting his past injury from. But what are you guys still feeling about this? I know it's still early, but or you could also talk about, I mean, just the fact that Josh Sweat is kicking everyone's ass right now. And I mean, we'll start with Dillard, but how are you guys feeling?
Hold on, before I even let anybody take take lead on this one. Let me ask you a question. Do you have that in the chamber? Did you keep that in the chamber because of the last show? Because I kept coming at you about Barnett, huh? Did you have that in the chamber?
No, I did not. No,
are you sure? Are you sure, man?
I am reporting the news.
You really look like you had that one in the chamber, bro.
I'm just reporting the news, my guy. Come on.
Well, I mean, the other day, didn't we end up hearing that Dillard was really ended up having a marginally better day than Mailata? It seems like it's been kind of going back and forth. I mean, Dillard has been getting, it seems today he really took somewhat of a beating, but this seems like one of those camp battles that's still very, like, we're in the infancy stages of it right now still. I think there's plenty of time to go for this competition. I think Dillard is going to have other days to show, just how, if he can be a beast at the tackle position. But Mailata right now, I mean, this is kind of what I predict, not I individually, but we as a podcast had predicted that Mailata would end up coming out on top in this competition.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about both of them would get the opportunity, right? And the first day, you know, it doesn't matter who's starting. And we talked about with the safeties and linebacker, other people. And that's why I like the veterans were out today. You know, you got to see stuff. So it didn't tell me that, I'm not reading too much into it. What I do read is Mailata's got the lead. I like that. But I'm not where to the point where, oh, Dillard's a bust now because a lot of people are already there. But to me, I loved what I just saw, the comment. He's a man. He's a beast. Josh, sweat is eating, baby. At one point, he got in the backfield back-to-back plays, and apparently one of those plays was a trick play, and he had Hurts dead to rights right away. So I just love to see the progression of him. I'm very excited for having a rotation. One of the telling things I heard today was Kerrigan talked about hadn't had the chance to go against Dillard or Mailata yet. He was impressed by both of them, but that told me, okay, well, he's just backing up Brandon Graham there. And this is really down to Barnett and Sweat on the right side.
So you see that Barnett. Anyway, Kerrigan also said when they asked him how they felt about Josh Sweat, he said Josh Sweat is going to be a problem.
Serious problem, yes, sir.
Serious problem. You know what else can be a serious problem?
What's that, Gil?
People's regions. You know what I'm saying? The regions.
Right. The net.
Now, the Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts all are in this summer. You know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. That's the region I'm talking about. Tame your pews with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls. Enjoy the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going with the code FANSIDED20.
Now, boys, I actually have a trip coming up that I need. I need a travel package to go for my package. And the Manscaped 4.0 is exactly what I was looking for. The Performance 4.0 is here to help you get ready. You'll find inside of your package the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver, some ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, plus two free gifts, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a Shed travel bag. Talk about a world-class dismount. Into a post-quarantine world, this package is perfect for your package and a peak performance in whatever sport you desire. The new brand new 4.0 is here to take the podium. This fourth generation trimmer features cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology.
The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multi-function on and off switch that can engage a travel lock and gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for the more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities. This package also comes with the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds on top in both your nose and ears. This tool is a lock to take home gold in the biathlon. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered 360-degree rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year. Manscaped also threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag, as mentioned by Evan. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped 2.0. And let me, Eddie, we're talking.
And if we're, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot. I understand.
Ben, Jimmy.
Wow. Yo. I thought it was still a perfect bridge, though, to talk about what Kerrigan said when he saw Josh Sweat. Oh, dude, he said he couldn't believe the size of him. You know, when talking about what Manscaped can do for you, you'll have Ryan Kerrigan reaction. So Manscaped, use at manscaped.com. FANSIDE20 is the code. Do it up, guys.
I mean, you guys did a great job. Always under pressure, you know, talking about balls and not laughing is that is the job. That is, hey, like a, you guys are professionals. You know who else is a professional around here?
Who's that?
This guy, a professional QB1 out here. Depending on who you talk to, they'll talk about the offense and in there's been some positive reviews and some negatives, but overall the idea has been that Jalen Hurts has looked better each day in practice. He had his best day of practice. I think some people talked about some timing routes that he's hit some people on for some touchdowns. He's made some really nice throws. So I think, like Jimmy talked about it, you can't take everything you hear. Just absorb it in. Absorbing each day. Some people are trying to hold, some of these practice notes to like, he's going to be great. He's going to be MVP or he's going to be terrible. Like, just keep watching, man. It's still third day of practice. Everybody's learning what they're supposed to be doing. Again, they're talking about his footwork, obsessed with where he's at in some of these plays and get to where he needs to be. This all needs to be learned. And I don't expect them to learn this in 3 days. So again, defensively, I think, hey man, our defensive front is no joke.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to give our offensive line some issues. Again, we know how many guys up front were not starting today offensively.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of guys out, and that's why there was some pressure getting to it. But even with that, I mean, according to ESP, he got 10 for 13 completed, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a rushing TD, which is a good day at practice. I mean, if you were to throw up those numbers in a preseason game for a half, I mean, that's a hell of a half, man. We're feeling very confident about him being there to start the season. But, I mean, he wasn't the only quarterback in conversation today, because I had said something, a few weeks ago when we've got both Joe Flacco and Nick Mullins. And it seems already that what I had said, that Nick Mullins will be the QB2 of this team, is already kind of coming into fruition.
Yeah, it's going your way.
Yeah.
It's going your way. I mean, the guys, yeah, I mean, he's been key on these practices, and he's hitting his targets, doing his thing. I mean, he's definitely out there shining. You did call it. You said it. And it looks like it's, we're still early.
And for a much better paycheck as well.
Yeah. What is it?
$920,000.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like they said it. That's just the pay just for an arm. That's it. And that arm is going to go ahead and take that number two spot. Yes, don't sleep on it.
Gail and I talked about this earlier today before we were on here. Remember when everybody was losing their mind over Jamie Newman? Okay. Look, it was exciting to get an undrafted kid we liked, but exactly what we talked about at that moment when he was signed, Nick Mullins, what is he here to do? He is here to help us in camp and the preseason, because he's going to give us a better idea of what some of these back end wide receivers look like, especially when it comes preseason. You think Joe Flacco is going to be out there? No, dude, it's going to be Nick Mullins. So I love to see that he's doing well, because we knew we were putting a lot on him. We talk about him being a veteran, somebody that would be a lot more accurate than Jamie Newman would be. Not saying there's anything wrong with the kid. I hope the best for him. But you got a guy that's actually going to be able to get the ball to these receivers. So you see guys like Jack Stoll today, Jamon Osmond getting to step up and show that they've got something because of injury too. But Nick Mullins is a decent quarterback, so I like that.
You know what else I like? I like the running backs. So far, Scott and Sanders have been the focal points in first team reps. I'm excited about what they're going to bring to the table. This guy right here, I think Deshae just mentioned in the chat in the comments that they're going to be, you know, using the run game. I think it's a perfectly good idea. I think surrounding your young quarterback with a solid run game, that sets everything else up. So I mean, the fact that we currently have two tight ends that who could dominate a nice running game. Kerryon Johnson is impressing.
As is Jordan Howard.
Yes.
Jordan Howard. Yeah. I mean, that's what you like to hear. You like to hear that Kenneth Gainwell has looked solid as well, especially in passing routes.
Boston Scott's catching the ball well out of the backfield as well.
He's also a bodyguard of Milton Williams.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Might be 5'6", but don't forget, Boston Scott was a power lifting champion too.
So. He's a giant man. Killer, right?
There's some serious exactly. Ankle biters out there, bro.
I mean, that dude is a muscle. I mean,
I hate fighting smaller guys more than I do bigger guys. The bigger guys can't move. It's those little shits that move around. You're like, dude, I'm way too old, and I haven't been in a fight in probably 10 years now. But back in my day, dude. I hate them little squirrels.
No, Boston Scott is like a Care Bear on steroids.
Yo. Dude, yeah.
Watch out.
Care Bear on steroids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Built, but talking about built. Look at this. Someone's got a built shoulder and they got a new tattoo over here.
It's a beautiful one.
Can you guess which one of that us that is?
It's me, Evan, man.
Jeez, that thing looks good on you, Evan.
So, how much does this run you?
We're gonna not mention that, okay? Like, don't do that to me again.
First Christian out the shoot.
Yeah, don't do that to me again. I don't know if she's watching.
She's like, we could have got a new couch,
and that's exactly what I'm trying to avoid. Oh man,
you got it
really locked up in the chamber today, bro.
I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to go.
You said you're gonna go symmetrical on the other side, but then
I'm going with today's modern helmet. Yep,
nice.
That'll be my next one. You know, what I mean, I'm getting back into the groove with these tests, man. I missed out for a few years, and then I forgot what these things felt like, so I got to get back into that feeling.
Moneybags wants to know if they shaved that area for the tattoo with the Manscaped. Yes. Well, just for branding purposes, we're going to say yes.
Can I say, I was just going to say that ready to go, I heard the statement ready to go. Speaking of ready to go, didn't sound like somebody was ready to go, although hearing some positive things about Jason Huntley in this camp, we're speaking about running backs. The one thing Gale mentioned at the beginning of this video, holding players accountable. So all of a sudden, Huntley doesn't turn around in time for a screen pass, and Sirianni apparently loses it. Woo! That's what I wanted to hear. Details. So he yells at him. It's about the little details, man. And that's all we've been asking for. All of us have sat here on 4th of John and begged for accountability. And sure, it's just training camp, but it's the little things, man. The details.
Like, I don't like banana routes, right? I don't like the we're going to roll into it. It's stick your foot in the ground and rip it.
Rip it. It's funny because like when you get a new football coach and then they the first time they yell at someone, it's a weird moment. It's like
it's like a first fight for a relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this shit.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
I think it was going so better swimmingly.
After that, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, bro, what happened to that happy go lucky dude? Now you just yelled at me in front of the team, bro. Okay, I see you. But it is what it is. I mean, that he's an NFL coach. That's what you wanna see. I think he's gotta take control when things go haywire. I think probably Garrett Gunn could have been seeing that situation. He could be like, but that could be one of the situations where he's because they said that Sirianni was looking at practice and he was like shaking his head like in disgust. He was like a little upset at what he saw. So
I'm good with that. You know, I got tired of, hey, listen, don't worry about it. We're going to go have some ice cream after this bullshit. 100%. You don't deserve 100%. No goddamn ice cream.
Yep.
No, so I love it. I love hearing
right
about
out
it.
Of their hands. No Jimmy's for you on that either.
Yeah. He's like, y'all want Rocky Road? Because you're going to get Rocky Road from me.
The only thing that I hope that comes from that, though, is that the ownership, the front office, ends up seeing how Nick Sirianni is really trying to light a fire under these guys' ass, and maybe they can back up a little bit, take a step back, and, you know, maybe not spend every day down there at training camp or practice, and, you know, just take a couple days off.
Sirianni just
picked over a garbage can for no reason.
But we act like every coach should do that, right? Like, oh, that's how it should be. Weirdly enough, I didn't see much of that the past couple years. So for us, it's pretty sad that we're holding on to things that every coach should be doing. I mentioned it earlier. I was saying, like, and to you, Gail, that you shouldn't have to be teaching fundamentals, things that we learned when we were kids playing. So it's like, but we're getting back to basics. I love the hits principle on defense. Everybody, dude, playing physical. The fact that they're physical, Gannon loves that Sirianni's letting them be physical with the offensive players. So toughening everybody up. We needed to get toughened up. We needed accountability, and we're seeing all those things right in front of us. So it might be obvious to some people out there, but we were lacking it. So I love it.
I mean, speaking of physical, you talked about Gannon talking about physicality. Milton Williams, guys, Milton Williams is surprising some folks. And the one thing that I took away from his presser yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw Gannon's presser, but overall, you know, I'll go with what he said about Milton Williams, the ability to start five positions across the front.
Yep.
That to me was like, okay, they're seeing something that, like, we do remember when Gannon was, you know, clapping his hands when he got drafted and very hyped. They're like, oh, yeah. Is that fake? Is that fake news? Are you really hype? So they must really like what they see from him. Brandon Graham said he is kind of quiet. He's trying to get everything out of him and have him talk to him. But you know, he's like, we're going to be in the same room together, so we got to talk it up. But overall, I'm kind of excited to see what Milton Williams brings to the table. I know Chris Franklin also mentioned from NJ.com also mentioned that he was super high on Milton Williams. So,
hey, amen. What does everyone always say though? It's always the quiet ones. It's always the quiet ones, man. So if he's really got that beast that he just contains within him, and he's ready to just like let the freak loose, like how Javon Kearse used to. I'm all for it. Milton Williams and his versatility to be able to play five different positions on the line. I mean, for depth reasons and for, you know, all the different packages we could work him into, that is a defensive coordinator's dream right there.
Absolutely.
I think Kerrigan brought that up too today, right? He got asked about Milton Williams, and he said that everybody keeps bringing up his versatility. And I love that he said five positions. We talked about expect multiple schemes, multiple fronts, and we just keep getting answered to that every single day when they keep talking about stuff, because you're like, wait, four on a lot? Yeah, baby. We're going to have nose tackles, defensive tackle. We're going to have everything your heart could desire. And I'm trying to keep my mind in training camp, but I'm seriously so effing pumped up. And I hope you get the chance to watch the game with us, or at least come tailgate, because we're going to have some effing great times. This energy is just the tip, baby.
way to make it
the man,
weird.
The Manscaped.
Oh, don't make it weird. Now. God damn.
Ain't nobody trying to hang out with your tips.
We can't even do anything now because of Manscaped. Thank you. It all started with Micah Parsons.
One thing that I saw come out of camp though today is just how the second year linebackers were looking pretty good today between Sean Bradley and Davion Taylor, which is really something that I was really keen in on this offseason. I wanted to see the development of these players, because if these guys were to not pan out, we are that much further behind in this whole process, because obviously linebacker is something we neglect throughout the draft. We need to find those diamonds in the rough. And I'm hoping that these guys, it's seeming like Davion Taylor is showing some serious speed out there, being able to get to the quarterback. So I'm liking it, man. I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of those guys.
Talked about his athleticism and talked about him getting up to 22 miles per hour. That's
lightning, man.
He said that's the one thing. He's like, that's one of the reasons why they drafted me, for my speed and my ability to run to the football. And, I, you know, if my thing is, when you know what you're doing, you play faster. Mm-hmm. I think he's at a point where he's still learning, and he's made mention of that. So, you know, him getting there, I heard during the offseason, before even training camp started, from people around, they said that he stuck around town. Like, he didn't go, he was locked in. Right. He's been locked in for months, just really trying to learn the defense and get to where he is at now. Hopefully that's showing on the field.
Sure.
Yeah, they talked to him yesterday, and he came out, and exactly what you said, Gail, he actually was asking for more meetings, for more Zoom meetings, for on the field, off the field, anything he could do to improve his game. So we know he's got the skills, but he talked about his biggest thing was his eyes. He's got to train his eyes, where to keep them, when to move them. And it was awesome to hear him talk about where he knows he's got issues, and he's done everything he could to get better at it. And we talked about it last year. There was no training camp, no preseason, so these guys were going to struggle. He dealt with an injury at the end of the year. You guys know I was super high on him. And because of the fact that he was a third-round pick, it pissed everyone off and pissed me off too. He wasn't a third-round pick. He should have been around fourth or fifth. But it doesn't mean he's not talented. So we have to have hope. And I remember you guys got to talk to Chris Franklin. And, you know, my question that I got to ask, and I loved it, was he hit on Davion Taylor and Jacoby Stevens. That's why guys like him are brought in. You know, they're athletic guys that have played safety but are really these hybrid linebackers in today's NFL. So I think those two, the hope is, are the future. But to see Davion Taylor getting off to a great start this year, that's the first step. He's been getting first-team reps. Ev said Sean Bradley. Eric Wilson's been getting some time. But it looks like it's pretty much between, what was it, Edwards, Bradley, and Wilson for the middle linebacker. So We're seeing some good competition, though. So for a position we were scared as hell about, it's good to hear some positive things.
I think that I honestly, the way that this defense is shaping up, the way that we are hearing how they're containing the offense, I feel like we honestly could be in for a pleasant surprise from our defense this year. I think that we could see is like legit turnaround. If you just look at like the cornerback position, how much we've upgraded that, how much we've upgraded the safety position, the linebackers, the defensive line, literally every single team that's a part of that defensive unit has been improved. So I really think that we could have a serious like night and day sort of difference between this year's defense and last year's defense.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time before all areas of that defense came together as one and became, you know, one of the best and elite defenses in the league. I'm confident that it could get to that point this year, man, the way these guys are coming together and making things happen.
Now, while I play devil's advocate to my own question, I want to know, where do you guys think that we still lack depth on this defense if, God forbid, somebody were to go down? I mean, if one of the cornerbacks go down, are you guys concerned?
I'm still concerned to linebacker. I'm just happy there's positive news.
For sure. Yeah. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I want to put out there for anyone. Yeah.
We gotta all be honest. Linebacker position is still something that we all, you know, doubt. Yeah. I mean, we're hearing good things, and we're confident on the guys that we drafted and we brought in, but it's still a position that, you know, we really haven't pertain to the most in these past few years. And we're hoping that one of these guys will give us a reason to bring that, you know, change that.
I'm hoping the safety position, you know, you talk about, you know, McLeod's position, you know, you know, Kayvon Wallace yesterday, he said he thinks of himself as a star in the making. So I'm very interested to see what he brings to the table. But you know, You really just want to make sure McLeod comes back, because I feel like that's a great group. But I mean, another surprise for me, who's been a shining star so far. He started out as a quarterback, Tyree Jackson, for Buffalo. Now he has transformed himself into a tight end. I mean, right now it's all the rage for every beat writer to talk about how big this dude is and how good, you know, how solid he's looked. But could he be, could he be a nice little gem?
100%. And the more tight ends that are showing out in that room, I mean, the more awkward it gets, quite frankly.
Well, Gail, I'll give you some more credit here, dude. You came on my show the other day, and the day before training camp, and you brought up Tyree Jackson as one of the guys that needs to step it up. So he could definitely be that guy to step it up. We need him to. We don't know if Ertz is actually going to be here. It looks good right now, but I think Jesus. But I like it, man. Tyree Jackson, you know, 6'7". Of course, everybody's going to lose their mind because he's tall. But he had some good practices so far, so that's good news. If he Butler, though, he's out of the mix. He heard he was receiver again.
If he could get some yak, that's all I need.
Yep. Mean, where are we going with it? Oh, you mean yards after catch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mark says Action. That's a good name. Action Jackson, if you for that the old nice. Heads. for the old heads out there.
Gail, you said about, can I just touch on this quick? Kayvon Wallace, man. Really like, you know, the fact that he sounded pretty hungry yesterday in his interview. He talked about, you know, once again, another player that came out and talked about his struggles. You know, I felt like I was out of position. I felt like I could have worked on this, that, the other thing. Dude, Kayvon Wallace, we all, I don't want to put him in the same category as Dawkins just because he roomed with his kid and way too many people put him on a pedestal. But he came in and he said, you know, he had a rough year last year. He was really somebody that, you know, I thought would step in because of Jalen Mills, everything and the other thing. But I mean, he kind of used some excuses, no preseason, things like that, but it wasn't an excuse. We all know that rookies were going to struggle because of that. And the best thing he said was he felt like it was a slingshot. Sometimes you get pulled back because you need to see the better things and then boom, you get released and you're out there. He was looking at his situation like that. And I just love to hear from these young kids right now where their mind is at. Cause we talked about the beginning, take everything with a grain of salt, what you're seeing. So attitude is a big one I look for.
Now, attitude, Moneybags over here. He's concerned with any worry about how much Fletch has left in the tank?
I think he's more concerned if you're going to be buying me a jersey. I think that's what he's asking with this question.
Oh, are we talking about the list?
We're talking about the list. I mean, what wasn't our bet if Jason Kelce ends up having a better year, which I don't know how we're going to grade that.
And can we put this out there also that NBC Philly also had an article about the top 20 most important players? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was after ours.
Yeah, I did notice that. The timing was a little weird.
They also had Fletcher Cox at number two and Jason Kelce at number three.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, it's possible for a lot of people to be wrong, you know? Look at America.
Yeah. I think that Fletch, that's the same concern for any of the veterans, that we're all feeling the same way because it's PTSD from the last few years. You know, we know that the veterans were getting hurt, but we've talked about it. What if it was the coaching staff? What if it was the personnel, how we were practicing, things like that? So I'm trying to have a positive mindset, but trust me, I'm still nervous. I'm scared about Fletch and Hargrave because we saw that they fell off a little with those nagging injuries. Oh, they're playing, but they were hurt. So if they stay healthy, and that's the same with all these vets, I'll be fine. I don't think that any of them have fallen off to a point that's of concern.
I mean, the whole idea of like Fletcher Cox falling off, is that like a thing?
I feel like
I mean, that's the first time I'm hearing that.
Well, it's all the articles they're putting out. We're trading them. It's the same people that said we couldn't sign the guys without getting rid of Ertz. It's fine.
I just think Fletcher Cox, he's able to do so many things for this defense. Mm-hmm. Like just him setting the tone and just him being a menace to society. I mean,
you mean that both figuratively and literally?
Are you talking about the
he gets around?
He will too. I love that. Let me use that as a bridge. He will get around on that line. Remember,
nice.
With Jim Kelly, with the 3-4, Billy Davis. Oh, yeah. Well, that dude was moving around defensive end in a 3-4. Hey, this is another player like Milton Williams. They've been talking it up, but don't be surprised you see Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox getting around.
Yo, is that a Cowboys fan?
No, that's my father-in-law, man.
let's see. Yes, Gail, I saw that it was you on the list. Connecticut kid, let's go.
You looking at your draft profile?
Trolling?
You want to see? Oh, look at this.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Of course you keep that clip next.
Great. We got, hold on. Can you show that one more time?
Look at that, number
we
six.
Have another case for you, Detective Gail.
Looking like Bill Bellamy.
I'm not showing you mine.
No, because Morehead said something about, like, oh, that's a young Gail. And I was like, I'll show you a young Gail.
That's awesome.
But any other notes that you guys have out there?
There's something that I would like to address, Gail. And that is that kickers are people too. And we have spent zero time talking about Jake Elliott on this podcast.
I was going to talk about him and Sipos, bro.
What's that?
I was going to talk about him and Sipos for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So Jake Elliott, article came out today that he was experiencing some confidence issues last year. Quite frankly, I think that this is just, I don't want to say a cliche thing, but it's just a thing that seems like 90% of the kickers in the league end up going through at some point. And whether or not they're able to bounce back, I mean, a lot of times once these kickers lose their confidence, they end up just out of the league. And, you know, Jake Elliott ended up signing a big contract, you know, after the Super Bowl. And whether or not we're going to end up regretting that, I'm really hoping that Jake Elliott has shaken those confidence issues off this offseason and gotten his head right.
Are you trying to tell us that money changed him?
Money changes people, Gail. Yes.
You know what? If that's true, then guess what he did this year? He restructured that contract in order to give us more cap space. So he's doing what needs to be done for the team, and he's 100% correct. He said about mental. It's all a mental game. And Evan knows more than any of us about the whole mental thing, you know, and the just motions, everything. And he talked about that today in his presser. You know, it's like the same with golf and things. That's why he's good at things like that. And, you know, when you get off and, you know, get off your habits, it really messes you up. And I think everyone on this team last year was messed up. And we had 13 different starting lines on offensive lines setting NFL records. What the hell? I couldn't imagine trying to count the special teams, how many lines we probably had. So things were, I'm sure, weird everywhere. But hey, he seems excited to have Sipos here. It seems like they've created a good friendship, playing ping pong together, things like that. That'll be his new holder. But they just really seem to be working together. He had nothing but like great adjectives, like great, astounding. Like he was just really talking up this Sipos kid. And I mean, what else are you supposed to do? But let's pray to God that Sipos is good, because we heard from him today and he's like, yeah, I've never played in a game. And, you know, I'm from Australia. And you know, for the last 5 years, I was learning from rugby to the NFL. It's like, okay. I feel very comfortable right now, but I don't.
Worked out for Sav Rocca, kind of. I watched him Rocca somebody.
Oh, that's cool. He's been learning how to throw.
That's cool that he has, you know, he's got Jordan Mulatto on the team. And then he just walked by. He's like, oh, crikey.
He said he has met him before, too. They've talked, so cool they have a relationship.
Maybe Jake Elliott needs a little manscape for the neck. Next skate.
Yeah, he could definitely use that. He could definitely use that. He's trying to channel his inner Coy Detmer back in the
day. Oh, Evan, actually, I wanted to ask you, do you know who the coach he worked out with? He said Jamie Cole, world-renowned kicking coach. I don't know if you know who that was, but he said that's who he's been working with. Him and a local guy, he said Chris Nundrick, I want to say. So he actually has been doing things. He said he's getting them to help him get back to basics. He said, I got here for a reason. So I love that.
Shout out to Rick Lovato. You know, he almost goes forgotten because he's, you know, like he's a real G.
He is a real G.
He Rick moves Lovato's in he moves in silence.
Dude, like to replace Dorambos like that.
But Jake Elliott was saying that they were practicing around Philly. They show up to some certain high schools and start kicking. Yeah. He liked being at Temple and I believe at Penn. But he said, you know, when he's at these high schools, like fans will just show up and then they'll just come hang out and shag balls. So if you guys need us to, you know, catch some balls, we'll be out there.
Manscaped Football. 3 is over.
Use
man-
yeah.
Manscaped.
Manscaped
20. We'll catch some balls. Did you see Darius Slay in his presser today when he was talking about how he, did you see it where he caught himself?
When he cut someone off?
No, he was talking about he was talking about balls, and then he's just like, oh, wait, pause.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about when he told the one reporter, he was like, hold up. And he's like, go ahead, to Jamie Appity. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
We're shooing away the female craft.
Well, I don't know if they were cutting her off, so he, like, tried to help her out. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, man.
Well, they should like that, then.
Going off any other notes? Any other notes you guys want to showcase?
They talked to Maddox today, too. He talked, you know, he said he'd help out wherever he could. You could see it in his eyes. He would prefer he could play outside. But he said, you know, he likes the fact that he's able to help in multiple positions. And I think, you know, that's a reason he has a job. And we talked about that. He can play nickelback, free safety. He can move around, but he's not a starting outside guy. So we're happy Steven Nelson is here. But what was so telling to me was when they were talking to Slay today, he said, they asked about Maddox, and he said, yeah, he looks great inside where he belongs, and then just kept talking. And I was like, wait, what'd you just say? So it was like,
where he belongs.
That's where he belongs. Keep him inside and playing the free safety defensive back that lines up against certain people. And I think he can continue to get better. I really do have hopes for him. I love the Steven Nelson signing, but that was something that stood out to me listening to them today. I was like,
oh, I'm curious to know what we're looking to get out of that other conversation that Howie and Ertz had earlier today, too.
He's like, well, I think we got a trade on the block. Have you seen like
Ertz like show, cold weather?
Ertz keeps showing up to practice. Like with yesterday, it's the blonde hair. Today, he had the shades and he had like a band around his head.
He's going through a crisis. He's going through a personality crisis.
I was just like, this is a new Ertz. I was getting a vibe of a new Ertz. That's what all I'm saying.
That's the vibe that I'm big got. Yeah, it's a new Ertz, man.
We need that new Ertz.
Hopefully. Other than that, I mean, I'm excited about. I'm just gonna be honest. Like, so far, Gannon's presser to me was one of the most impressive. Like, I could see how he can rally these guys around. Just the way that he was just talking about his defense and the way that he was stressing on turnovers, and Steven Nelson showed like his knuckle, and because they're all out there punching balls.
Another one.
I mean, we're just talking about getting turnovers because that's part of the hits principle.
Yes.
And that whole idea of getting turnovers, we're talking about how many times that we wanted to get turnovers, and that it's an emphasis, even in the drills that they're doing. You know, they got them, you know, that's. And just the mindset of Gannon right now, I just feel like he's presenting his plan nicely. And I feel like I think it might resonate with some of the players. And I feel like also guys that he's talking about, guys that have versatility. You're talking about even Avante, a guy that could play three positions. You talk about Milton Williams. You talk about Fletcher Cox, you can move. You talk about Brandon Graham, who you can move inside, outside. So we got some versatility, and the whole idea of us being aggressive, you know, I'm excited for that.
I'm with you.
We got to address this too. Sorry.
Oh God.
Don't care. Still don't care. I don't care. I don't. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, some highlights catching a ball out of bounds. People are like, see that catch?
How about their wide receiver running into a fence yesterday? Come on.
Yeah, Gallup.
Come on, man. Yeah, come on. Stop.
All right, dude. The hits principle. I love what you brought up there. What is it? Hustle, intensity, takeaways, and smarts. Play smart, right? So these guys, all we have stressed while Jim Schwartz was here is please start getting some turnovers. Please start doing something. We have seen none of that. We were all grew up spoiled with Jim Johnson. Well, not all of us, but just saying, you know, we're used to that. We want that back. We want the toughness back. I cannot stress how excited I am about Gannon. And I love what you brought up there. All the players have mentioned that physical style and being able to be physical in training camp. They're excited. Just imagine what they're going to do on game days, baby. We're from Philly and we fight, and our defense is going to look like that for once. And I really can't wait for that.
If you guys have any questions that you want us to answer, I know there's some sprinkled in there, but we'll go with little bro Steve, big bro Steve. He said, any fears about the health of the offensive line? I mean, you just saw Tuamalo. That's week to week with a hamstring. Talk about, you know, our dude, man, Brandon Brooks, he's already coming back from injury. Hamstring, you just hope it's not too long. And then we have Landon Dickerson, who's not here yet. So we're starting off a little bit with some injuries. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and plus, if you add in the factor of just the simple age of our offensive line at this point, it's impossible to not have it in the back of your head about what could go wrong throughout the season. Yeah, obviously, you always want to, you know, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So I think the Eagles did a good job this offseason of really bulking up that room and getting some good depth in that position.
You know, I think it's got to be a fear. Obviously, we set the NFL record last year. So it's concerning. But yesterday they talked to Lane Johnson, and that was, of course, one of the things they asked him about. And he had said, you know, it's just about stacking days. And, you know, it could be as cliche as you want to say it is, but it's really what it's all about. We know they can be hurt, and it sucks. And I'm going to be nervous as hell going into the season. But he talked about what he's been doing this season, helping guys like Driscoll and everybody, the guys behind him and everything he learned from JP, from Todd Harriman's, from Evan Mathis. He mentioned some greats, and he's trying to pass that down because he realizes, yeah, he's dealt with some injuries the past couple of years. So for once in my life, I mean, I'm very concerned about it, but I feel very comfortable with the offensive line depth we have. I like Driscoll. I like Urbig. I love whoever's going to lose the left tackle battle. We've got somebody with
Urbig, Opeta, and of course, man. Those guys are solid.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Urbig and Driscoll are my guys, but I like Opeta too. Dickerson, whenever he gets healthy. So, yeah, that's almost a starting line, you know, for the New York Giants there. So I think I really like this team, and I don't want to see any injuries, but I feel a little more okay going into the season, I guess.
Anytime you have Stoutland, you got to feel okay. Yeah, sure. 2020 says, I want to see some exotic blitzes, fake blitzes, and keep offensive line guessing. Schwartz's vanilla BS is over.
Yep.
I hope.
Definitely. Definitely is with the new with Gannon here.
Well, Avery was starting yesterday at weak side linebacker. Osman was getting some reps there. This is exactly what we talked about all offseason. You're going to see stand-up rushers. You're going to see guys that you don't know if they're rushing or dropping in coverage. Yes, you're going to see so many schemes and sets. Every week they're going to be different, and that's what you want, to keep the opponent guessing. So yeah. Jim Schwartz didn't do that, so I can't wait to see it.
We want those surprises every week, and that's what we got tired of last year. You know, everything we already knew what the hell we were going to go ahead and do.
Todd has a question from YouTube. He says, do you guys think we need to add a veteran receiver with Rager still struggling mentally? I think, you know, they just brought in a wide receiver who's had a relation with Steichen, played with San Diego. Was he played Miami as well?
Denver. Yeah. Patlin? You talk about Patlin?
Yeah. Patton played Cardinals and the Dolphins practice squad other than the Chargers.
Yeah. I thought he played for Denver as well.
I'm not sure if he played for Denver. Right. I'm not sure. Well, I mean, you're just talking about bringing in a guy with size.
6'4".
And then they also, I believe they worked out Josh Doctson. That didn't happen.
They've also moved to Keem Butler to wide receiver as well.
I guess for now, since you have that, you need some depth over there. Mm-hmm. Might as well cross train them. I do think if there's another injury, you might need to bring somebody in. I mean, Quest Watkins hasn't practiced.
What does the free agency crop still look like for wide receiver?
Not that great.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
It's nothing that I would bring in over these guys. I mean, you've got Dante Moncrief out there. He just mentioned Doctson. Look, I think, you know, it's obviously a huge question mark on what this room's going to look like, but we need that question mark answered. You've got way too many young guys right here, just all who's going to make the team. John Hightower, Quez Watkins. Now, obviously, Watkins is out. Ward is out. Rager's out. So they're not answering questions, but this is the perfect opportunity for your Jamon Osmonds, your Michael Walkers, all of the randos at the end. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's been starting. So, I mean, these guys have no excuse now. You've been given all the opportunity in the world. So I kind of like where it's at, and I don't think I want a veteran to come in here and take away from that. I think Patton obviously was brought in because you need another body. So many people are getting hurt, but he also can help you on special teams. That was a big thing Michael Clay talked about. Our new special teams guy, he mentioned the two guys were signed. They could help on special teams. So, I don't know that I would add someone. I think we've got to get the questions answered here.
Now, Daniel, I believe Daniel's from Sweden, if I'm not correct. Any possible drama that needs to be taken care of? Except the Ertz, obvious. We are kind of hyped about next season, but on that level, it doesn't take much. Any possible drama, Ev, you think?
I mean, if I'm just thinking about the drama that existed last year, I'm thinking about the drama that existed between the front office and the coaching. And so while we have a different coaching staff in here, I'm hoping that problem is now resolved. But at the same time, if there's a presence that is there at every practice and it's just this constant watchful eye, this big brother type entity that's behind Nick Sirianni and his coaching staff, I could see how the pressure could be on and how, you know, there could be increased, you know, anxiety, whatever, not feeling like he has control of this team. That's where I would think if there was any kind of drama that were to happen, it would come from. But who knows? It could be something like a Dillard and Mailata little scuffle in practice. They seem like Dillard. He seems like a very emotional person.
Yeah, it could be Dillard and anybody. It could be Dillard and anybody.
2.0 fight.
Yep.
And the fact, you know, going back to what you were saying about Sirianni and Howie and Jeffrey, I don't think they're going to find a reason to put their hand up his ass and you know have him become the puppet man. I think today was that step forward to show that, you know what I mean, like, yo, you brought me here for a reason. I'm gonna go ahead and do my job. And he's letting the team know, this is my job. At the end of the day, you guys have a job to do, but I have a job to do as well. And my job is to go ahead and coach this team and coach it right. And if I'm going to see you guys fuck up or do something stupid that you're not supposed to be doing, I'm going to go ahead and let you know. And he did that today, and that's what we needed. All right? Yeah. Tired of this ice cream eating motherfuckers. Like, stop that shit. Like,
exactly. Whoa. I think that's the only thing that people are concerned about, and that would be obviously all of our concerns. We were talking about, did they bring him in because of this? But I love what Prime just said right there. This was the day, man. He stepped out. When I read that he's details yelling, then he stopped and practiced, that got me excited because that's showing me he's ready to step up and get them cojones out, because that's something we lacked. And, you know, you talk about, oh, every coach should do it. Yes, they should, to an extent, do certain things. But he came out, right? Ted Lasso, everybody's comparing it to. But he's so nice. So he finally showed us, I can step it up and hold these dudes accountable when I need to. So we needed to see that as a big step for him. And hopefully Howie and Jeffrey sit back, see that, and go, hey, you know what? It's a new relationship. Let's see how it plays out. You know, that fun, loving, when the relationship still starts. So let's just hope he does good so they don't have to get that hand back in there.
I'm still waiting for him to drop kick somebody for no reason. I just want just drop kicks, knock over some water bottles, smack
I'll jump through this wall if he does it.
Do something like that. Mark has a question. He says, who are you four most excited to see in action with pads next week? He said Gainwell and Wallace for him. Evan, who's your first?
Off the top of my head, there's a couple. I mean, obviously the one guy we've been talking about all camp and more excited about than ever, Devontae Smith. I want to see every Devontae Smith highlight that exists personally. On top of that though, I want to see Lil Tay-Tay, man. I want to see Lil Tay-Tay back in the slot, see if he can get back to where we need him to be. Just shore us up. And the other one, obviously, would be Steven Nelson, man. Him coming in here and just getting involved with this team. I want to, while I feel like on paper our cornerbacks look great, I need to see it with my eyes. I need the eye test to tell me that this is going to work out. And so that's what I'm looking forward to when the pads get put on.
Yeah, I'm gonna come out and say, you know what I mean, even though he's got personal issues going on right now, and at the end of the day, you want to make sure that everybody's, you know, health is where it needs to be at, and their mindset is right. I was one the other night on the show questioning where Jalen Reagor's mindset was at. You know, I noticed there was something up with him. I didn't know until after the fact what had actually happened to him on a personal level. And you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, my prayers up for you and your people's families. You know, it's a sad story and everything. But I want to see that dude come in like focused. I want to see him get back to the reason why he got drafted. He was questioning not only himself, he was just questioning a lot of other things. I don't want him to focus on any of that no more. I want him to come in here and have a good year and show, you know, us, the fans, that, you know what I mean, he could play the game. But at the end of the day, again, the important part is that, you know, his mentality is, you know, there, straight line with that. And then, of course, the linebackers, who, regardless whoever it is, Stevens, Taylor, anybody, I want to see somebody in that position with the pads on, go in there and, you know, again, give me a reason to go ahead and talk about this linebacker position.
I like it. I like it. But I'm going to be real with you. This is hard to pick one because it all starts in the trenches. And one of the things I can't really gauge is these guys going hard with the pads, smashing each other. That's what I want to see, dude. And I'm really excited to see the offensive line and defensive line. It's kind of like a half thing for me. It's really the left tackles. Mailata and Dillard, how they're going to do against Sweat. That is going to be the most fun for me to watch when the pads go on. I want to see how these tackles, I mean, the whole line. I just can't wait to see the pads come on, because that's where you see the physical guys start to get pretty physical. And if they're talking about it already being physical, oh, yes, I can't wait. But I love what you guys said, though.
My guy is, you know me, Devontae Smith, man. I just want to see what he's can still do and continue to do out there on the field. I think Milt Williams is the guy who I'm really excited to see. You know, I love those, you know, I was going to say Steven Nelson, but obviously it's about looking at the rookies and what they can bring to this.
Surprise, motherfucker.
hey, make sure after you got you guys out there, if you know, on we're everywhere else except for YouTube. Refresh this channel. Make sure you're subscribed over there. Trying to get to 1,000 over on YouTube. And love building with the YouTube community. YouTube is the Eagles YouTubers are like crazy. The content creators out there are crazy. So make sure you're subscribed over there and liking the content. Let's see. Any other questions? I saw one other question that was out there. Melada versus Dillard. Will high pick Dillard accept the bench over time? I just think right off the bat, I mean, the best man wins. This is what the NFL is about. Cream rises to the top. It doesn't matter if you're drafted the first, second, or seventh, like Melada was. And Melada was in my mock drafts in the seventh round, and people laughed. And here we are. We have a starting, potential starting left tackle. And I feel like it doesn't matter if Dillard was drafted in the first. I know from a scouting standpoint, and whoever drafted him, they'll look at you sideways for that. But the fact that we're here is a good place. Swing tackle is still cool for me. We saw the injuries that we had in the past. So, you know, anytime I just hope Dillard, I hope he rises to the competition.
I hope that my statement doesn't really ruffle any feathers with those out there in the Eagles and, you know, Fourth and John community. But I think it's very similar to like Greek life in college as far as your draft positions. So, because like if you're looking at your draft position, it really doesn't matter if you're drafted in the first or seventh. They want the best player. How I'm comparing it to Greek life is employers don't really care about what frat or what sorority you were in. If you are the best person for the job, they want the best person for the job. So it really doesn't matter as far as like after you get through the draft, after you get through college, it doesn't matter. If you're the best person, you make it known, then you're going to get the job.
All right.
I think that Mailata, we've talked about it all season. It's his job to lose, and he's been proving that over and over again. He's always going to hold a place in my heart. I love the dude, so may the best man win.
You know, I think we're past the hour mark. any last words before we get out of here? We'll start with Prime. Prime's muted.
Just wanted to say to make sure you guys, you know, enjoy the rest of y'all weekend. Check on your loved ones, you know, and you know, just be safe out there. Keep tuning in, you know, because we're gonna definitely have more to talk about. You know, we got a lot of training camp days ahead of us. So, you know, appreciate you guys to the fullest.
Jimmy.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's always so much fun to talk, especially with, you know, the fans. But, of course, I love you, Fourth and John guys. But, you know, what I really can't wait for is the fact that I'm sitting here thinking about, man, I hope you all have a great weekend. But next weekend, we'll be at open practice. Holy shit, we're a week away, and I hope I get to meet some of you guys there, see some of you guys again. It is going to be a fantastic time. I can't believe it's almost here. So hope you guys are strapped in. Keep tuning in. Make sure you're following the Fourth and John page. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are putting out as much content as we possibly can, and when the season begins, you just aren't going to be able to contain yourself. So have a great weekend. Stay safe, and as always, go Birds.
I want to first things first, I want to send my thoughts and prayers out to number two in Indianapolis. I want you to feel better, pal, because after the end of this year, I'm not going to think about you one time for the rest of my life. other than that, I just want to, you know, I'm fortunate enough to speak after Prime, so I'm just going to go right ahead and throw him on mute. But I can't wait to beat this guy's ass in the competition that we're going to have. We're going to be going head-to-head for some Eagles game tickets. We're going to be putting that content out there. It's going to be foot races. It's going to be cornhole. All different ways to figure out which games me and Prime are going to be going to. So I'm looking forward to, you know, whooping some ass.
If you guys, this is the first time hearing about this, so we got access to tickets, and then I was like, well, you know, I have some tickets, but you guys gonna have to split who goes to which game, so they're basically gonna have to fight it out. Nail, tooth, kick.
Luckily we're not arm wrestling, because I would just throw that one up.
Sudden death, bro. Sudden death.
What's the thing they call it on like Game of Thrones, where like you have the guy fight for you? Like have Fletch out.
I'll hire somebody.
Yeah, man. So I mean that's gonna be fun. We're talking about maybe even breaking out the drone to watch them race.
Talk about it, guaranteeing it.
Hey, time I raced live on a YouTube thing, I pulled my hamstring.
Yep, I'm not doing that.
Broke some ribs. So that will be interesting. As always, man, it's always just, you know, check in on your pupils, make sure they're good, man. At this point in time, people are, you know, stressing about certain things, what life is bringing to them during this pandemic. So just reach out, call them, talk about the Eagles. They should be excited right now. This is the best time to be excited about your birds. If you feel comfortable, again, we talked about, the training camp practice. We'll be there. We're hoping to, meet up with some of you guys out there. If you guys are going to the training camp practice, let us know. We'd love to meet up with you guys and you know, maybe sit in the same area as long as you're 6 feet away. Just kidding. No, I'm good. I'm vaccinated. I'm feeling good right about now. But for me and the guys, we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.